In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen.
Ask you a question. When you hear the word Christian or Christians, what do you understand from that? I mean, there must be yes, as he said. Followers of Christ. What else? That's a good one. Christians. When I ask you what, yes.
Many Christs.
Many Christs. Yes. Binachati. Oh, that's good. Yeah, yes. Okay, invested, empowered by the Lord, Christians. Okay, great. Excellent. Okay. But do you know that when the church, early church began, this is in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, when you read your scriptures, and I pray that everyone here, it may be wishful thinking, but still, there's always hope, that you read, you open your scriptures, your Bible, and you read. When you read the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you'll see that the word Christians does not appear for a few years after Jesus had resurrected. So those who believed Jesus Christ, when the church began to preach, the disciples began to preach and people heard, you know, Simon gave his first sermon and 3,000 Jewish people believed. And when they believed, they said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Be baptized now. You have to repent and be baptized." So the word Christians, Litva, you know, when I first became a Christian, there was no word of Christian. It was actually called something else, and let me read it to you. It's Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. Now Saul, who is St. Paul, previously called Saul, was still filled with anger and with threats of murder against the disciples of our Lord. And he asked the high priest to give him letters, listen to this, to give him letters to the synagogues at Damascus, that is Syria, that he should find, if he should find anyone, man or woman, following this faith, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem to kill the Christians, basically. Now we know them as Christians. But in the Aramaic version, it says, people of this way. They used to call them the people of the way. Who is the way? Who? Who claimed that he is the way? Jesus, yes. John chapter 14, verse 6. Let me read it to you. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth, and the life. No man comes to my Father except by me." So when they refer to him as the people of the way, they meant the faith, this new faith. Let's not even call it a Christian faith, because back then they didn't know. So they were called the people of the way, and Jesus is the way. That means the people that who followed Jesus Christ, as I think William said, and they believed. The first people that were called Christians, who do you think they were? No, say Assyrians, they weren't. In the Bible. How about we accepted Christianity? Yes, we were one of those first that accepted Christianity in the first or second century of Christianity. Who do you know who was the first people that were called Christians? No? I wasn't expecting, because it's not something that everyone comes across. But if we read Acts chapter 11, verse 26, listen to this. Acts 11, Bina.
Yes. Yeah, but they weren't called Christians. They were called the people of the way. The first people that were called Christians, if we read Acts chapter 11, verse 26, here is the answer. Why is it different here? Oh, here it is. No, it's not. And when he had found him, that means, let me just, this man called Ananias went to look for St. Paul, this Saul. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for the whole year, they assembled together in the church and taught a great many people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch and from that time onwards. So those people in Antioch who were listening, who were being discipled, that's why it's called this. A disciple is someone who is discipled. If I take on Stephen, Shamasha, Colin, Andrew under my wings and I teach them, and a Talmidina, they are my disciples because I discipline them. So those people they were preaching for 1 year, the disciples, they were the first one that were called Christians. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be Christians? Why did they start calling them Christians? Because something Edna said, which was so true, and she's always looking at her nail. Something that Edna said. Because they were Christ-like, little Christians, little Christs. They saw them, they knew this must be a different faith. And then they obviously understood that they are Christians, followers of Christ. Now, raise your hand if you identify yourself as a Christian. If you don't identify yourself as a Christian, raise your hand. Okay, good. Wait, I want to burst your bubble now. So what does that mean? When people say to you, I'm a Christian, meaning you are Christ-like. That means what Christ is, you are. What Christ is by nature, we must be by grace. Every title in the Bible that is given to Christ, he is. By his nature, he is. We must also be by the grace of God, not by our nature, because our nature is corrupted. For example, let me give you a few, and then we're going to see how we can be. He is called in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. He is called the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is Christ himself. Let me read it to you. Verse 1, 24. 1 Corinthians. But we preach Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Arameans. But for those who are called, both Jews and Arameans, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. What does that mean? When people saw Jesus Christ, when we now read about Jesus Christ, we know that must be God. It must be God. Because no man can do, you know, when Nicodemus came to him by night, he said, we know you are from God, but he wasn't from God. He is God. Because no one can do what you're doing unless God is with him. Amen. God is with him. He is God. You are the power of God, obviously, because he said to Lazarus, come out, and Lazarus was resurrected. 4 days he was dead. He was starting to decay. He stood in the boat and he said to the ocean, be still. And the waters were still. He said, why do you think in your hearts? He could read minds. He could read hearts. Why? Because he is God. By nature, he is God. How do I become the power of God? How do we? How must we become the power of God and we become the wisdom of God? And we must be, why? Because we are Christians. You all raised your hand. I didn't raise mine. I should have raised mine, sorry. That's what it means, that you're saying, yes, I'm a Christian. Well, let me ask you something. Do you portray the power of God to your friends and to your relatives and to those cousins, relatives, family friends, school friends, workmates that don't know Jesus Christ? Do you show the power of God? You may say, how? I don't want you to go and stand in front of the ocean and say, be still. You don't need to do that. We don't need to read minds. We can't. We don't have that power. Unless God gives us that power, like he did to Daniel. Daniel actually said what Nebuchadnezzar was dreaming last night. He said, your dream was this, and this is the interpretation. That's if God wants to work with us. But we can't. You tell me what I dreamt last night. Can anyone guess? Yeah. A Red Bull? No, I didn't actually, because I've given up a long time ago. So I didn't. Okay? Yes? Water? No, I didn't. Don't guess. It's okay. No one can guess. Don't even go there. Don't be silly. Don't start saying, oh, a cat and a dog and a... Don't. Right? The point is, you can't. You can't tell me. I can't even remember. Honestly, let me think. What did I dream last night? Oh, yeah, it was him. Right? I don't even remember my dream. But Jesus knew the thoughts, knew the minds. Simon thought to himself, he said... You know when you speak, you say, when you do that, something's going through your mind. Simon saw this wicked and evil lady came to Jesus. He thought in his mind and said, Jesus said, why do you think in your mind? Because he is God. But how can you be the power of God? How can you show the power of God? What is God? Tell me, what is God? Love. What else? What else is God? Creator, what else? He's the Father, right? Compassion, mercy, grace, right? And that's through the power and the will of God. You can do that. You can portray Jesus. You must. We must. It's hard. I know at times it's very, very hard. And I always say, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Sometimes I stumble. I have difficulties. But I must. We are incumbent to do that because you just raised your hand and I raised my hand. I'm Christian. Are you Muslim? No, I'm Christian. Well, just by doing that, no, you say, no, I'm Christian. With a smile on your face. Why? Because Christ is love. He's compassionate. You can show the power of God when people say to you, gentlemen and ladies, why have you changed? What's wrong with you? You've changed. Why? Well, you don't cuss as much as you do before. Why are you so dorky? Why don't you go along with the trend and what the world portrays as good? That's how you show the power of God. You say, you know what? I was, but I'm not anymore. Because I know Christ. And not only I've been baptized, and I've been baptized by Marpallan, Kashapallan, Pallan Church. No, that's not about Christianity. No. When people say to you, why have you changed? When people can start seeing your change, your mindset has changed. When people see that you are more humble, people will say to you, well, you know, during fast, during soma, when you really offer that true soma and not eat chicken and say, no, it's not chicken. It is, Baba. It's Tama chicken. Don't even fool. And you know, I've gone there. I've done that. When you truly offer your fast in humility, people will start saying to you, wow, why are you so, you've changed. That's the power of God. When people that knew you in the world and saw you always in the world, and then all of a sudden they see you with God, they say, wow, what happened? That's the power of God. When you start knowing your faith and you sit in a congregation, in a meeting and there's discussions, you don't pick up the phone and say, hi, Rabbi, I'm discussing baptism with a friend. Can you send me some verses? No, I'm not going to send you any verses. Why should I? Because baptism is not one verse or two verse. And the verses are not there to fight. No, good luck. Go and purpose yourself. You don't purpose it now. You don't do that. But when you start conversing, you know, there was an understanding of the Church of the East many years ago that the Church of the East didn't know how to preach. I'm in Australia. They don't know the scriptures. They don't know St. Paul. And you know what? Let me tell you, yes, there was an element of truth there. There was, because we only thought it's all about, you know, just come to church and sing in the choir and that's it. But know why? We didn't know. But when the Church of the East, through a few, started preaching, I remember we began a radio program. It was a religious radio program in Sydney. It went for 2 hours because then Internet Litva. But there was no Facebook, Litva tam diane. So it was all radio, the radio wave, like microphones, right? And we started preaching. We started opening the scriptures and preaching the word. Those people who would say the Church of the East don't know how to preach, they started saying, wow, there's a revolution in the Church of the East. How about the Church of the East has missionized the world, okay? So when you sit and you start conversing and not pick up your phone and say, Rabbi, send me text. No, send me verses. No, don't do that. Go and read. Go and study. So you come back, go and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be able to give an answer because of my faith. That's what the scriptures say. Always be prepared to give a reason for your faith. Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Because Jesus is good. No. Why do you believe in Jesus Christ? Why makes Jesus different from anyone? Why is it that Christians were dying for Jesus Christ and today Christians are being persecuted for Jesus Christ? Why? Oh, because Jesus is love and he's good. There's a lot of people that were lovely and kind and compassionate, many people. But when you stand there and you say, you know why? Because Jesus is alive, praise his name. That's why. Because I worship a living God. I worship a living Jesus Christ, not a dead person. I worship a living Jesus Christ. If his tomb is empty, which is, not if. For because his tomb is empty, because he was resurrected, it makes everything about him true. He proved it to the world. He gave us the greatest testimony to say that, yes, only Jesus. Why? Because his tomb is empty. People start saying, oh, you're quoting scripture now. Pshari maskuna avilu kasha, you know. Your parents will probably say, hey, lebay chava kasha. No, he said, I don't want to be a kasha. If God calls me, why not? But I need to know what it means that I must be the power of God to people, because I'm a Christian. I'm a little Christ in this world. Christ is not with us, beloved. And as I always say, no one has physically seen Jesus Christ, right, from the day of his ascension when he went into heaven. No one has physically seen him, right? Now, in your dreams, yes, people have seen. I just saw a video. By the way, I get TikTok. Like, why would you do it on TikTok? Apparently, when I'm zooming out, it's Jesus, and then he comes down and he's walking to people, claiming to be a. Don't believe every. That's just silly. No one has seen Jesus physically because he ascended into heaven and he sat. You know, it's like he ascended to his throne that he had come down from, and he sat, and that's it. He won't move. However, there are Christs on earth. That is you. That is us. We can be the power. We must be the power of God. Jesus came and gave hope to the helpless and the hopeless of the community. Those who were totally rejected, you can do that. You can do that. Jesus came and made amends. He reconciled us. We were enemies. He made peace between us and God. You can be a peacemaker. Jesus is called peace in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. You're a Christian. You need to make peace, not to patpitzachadochina, not to cause divisions, not to talk bad about one another and start gossip about one another. And when there is a gossip, you should not just say, I don't want to get involved. It's too much drama. No, that's not enough. Jesus didn't come down and say, ooh, Dad, this is terrible. I'm just going to come back up and I can't do anything with these people. No. He made peace. He made peace on the cross. He died. We don't need to die for one another. When you see someone talking bad, when there's a gossip going around, don't flame it. You know, the scripture said, a wise man conceals many matters. When there's a gossip, you just conceal it. You know what? Just get over it. Don't do this. But a foolish man likes to continue to, but just go, just extend the gossip and continue it. Peace. How can we be the wisdom of God? We can be the wisdom of God, of course. Through God, we know everything, beloved. What we need to know, we know through Jesus Christ. That wisdom should be portrayed to those who don't know God. You need to be that Bible, that scripture, the people that don't know the Bible, don't know Christ, that can read. And again, it goes back to how we conduct ourselves. Christianity is not just being in the church for 2 hours on a Sunday and even being involved in the church, not only coming to church, which many of you don't. We need to do something about that. Enough is enough, right? Conference is over. You go, I assure you, you go every parish and look at their attendance. The pictures they post pre-conference, post-conference, 80-40. Why? What does that say? What does that say? Tell me, what does it say? And now what does that say? They only come for... Is this Christianity? I'm Christ-like. Oh, yes. I need to come to church. I need to come to Bible studies so that I can go. No, no, no. That's not Christianity. Jesus Christ came on earth. He is God. He could have blinked his enemies away, but he didn't do that. He didn't come on earth just to show, hey, I am God. I'm the Son of God. No, no. Actually, when they came to hail him as a king, what did he do? He ran away. Well, he walked away. He didn't want any glory. We don't come to God because we want to receive. See, that's being Christ-like. I don't do something for the house of God in order to get something from the house of God. I don't give to the house of God in order to get. No, when I do get, that's by the grace of God. That's the blessings of God. I don't come to Bible studies and to church so that I can go to Canada next year. That's not Christian. That's not being Christ-like. That's the scriptures. It's not me. It's not just Kasha Jenner's philosophy. It's not. This is the reality of Christianity. Christ knew the wisdom of God when they came to oppose him, to trick him, to sort of capture him through words, and they were using the scriptures. Christ referred back to them with the scriptures again. To the point where it was time for Christ to put everyone in his place, his oppositions, he said, let me ask you a question. For 3 years, let's say 2.5 years or so, you've constantly come and asked me questions. You've came and debated. You've come and showed your opposition. Let me ask you a question. Who is Christ? Who is Jesus? He says, who is the Christ? They said, the Son of David. So, okay. Oh, okay. But if he's the Son of David, why does David call him my Lord? I'm not going to go into that. The Lord said to my Lord, King David says it. The scripture said that from that point onwards, no one dared to speak to him and question him because they knew they was coming out second best. So what do? Let's go and kill him. That's what happens within humanity. Marcel and I will be arguing. And if I lose, Hasman, I'll either start swearing at him and becoming offensive and disrespectful, or I'll even cause harm. You know why? Because I'm those type of Christians. I argue Christianity. Don't worry about other faith. In Christianity, that happens. As opposed to, you know what? Thank you. I didn't see it that way. I didn't know it that way. Let me go back and re-examine myself. That's Christianity. That's being Christ-like. That's the wisdom of God. That's the power of God. Peace. Peace. Jesus is peace. So first and foremost, we must make peace with God. What caused enmity between us and God? What caused it? How did we become the enemies of God? What happened? Who knows? Yes? What? How? Sorry, crucified him? Oh, no, no. Even before that. No, actually, through that we became reconciled with God. Yes. Yeah, we disobeyed him. Wow. What a great... You know, sometimes it mind boggles me that just by one fig Adam and Eve ate and gave to her husband, we set enmity, dishmanayuta, between us and God because of a sin, right? So number one, you need to make peace with God. Gentlemen, if you're in sin, I speak chacha openly. Am I okay still walking? Right? If you're on pornographic sites, if you're in sexual immorality, if you have hatred in your heart, if you see someone and you want to just bash someone because someone just looks at you, you walk, you know, you see people bashing each other. What happened? We don't know. They would just walk past each other and just start fighting. Right? That's sin. What's wrong? That's sin. That means you have no peace with God. You got to make peace with God. We have to repent. Ladies, you want to show your glamour? You want to show people to how you look, what your figure is, and how much, what is it? Looks and what have you, and you want people to attract, you know, be attracted and what have you. That's immorality. We need to make peace with God. If God's yes, and I've always said this, if God's yes is a no in your life, you need to make peace with God because there's an enmity. But you don't need to go and crucify yourself, let me tell you. You don't need to go and get a big sheep and cut the head off and put blood on your forehead. You don't need to do that. That's done. That's finished. You get on your knees. The distance is from the knee to the floor. You get on your knees and you say, Lord God, Jesus Christ, I have sinned. Forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Come to the church. Be absolved by the church. And you have peace with God. That's the only time we can make peace with others. If I don't have peace with the Lord in my heart, there is no way. It's very difficult that I can make peace with others. And let alone bring others to peace. Because like Moses did. Let me tell you what Moses is. Moses was in Egypt and he saw an Egyptian soldier who was beating a Jew. He went to sort of tell him not to do it. Bang, he fell and he died. And then fast forward, there were two people fighting. Two Jews were fighting. Moses went and said, hey, what are you doing? They said, who are you to tell us what to do? You're a murderer. We saw you kill the Egyptian. I bet he didn't mean it. It was accidental. Accidental. We have to first make peace with God. Be at peace with God. Be at peace with others. Then you can bring peace between others. And lastly, Jesus is the spiritual food, a spiritual drink, and a spiritual rock. 1 Corinthians 10, let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 4. Yet I have sent... Actually, I always start with 3 to 4. For though we do live an earthly life, yet we do not serve worldly things. Here's another worship night topic. For the weapons which we use, is it 1 Corinthians? No, it isn't. It's 2 Corinthians. See? No one said to me, Rabbi, that's not the right verse. In any case, chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians. And all, let me start one more. Moreover, brethren, I want you to know that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized by Moses, both in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, which came down from heaven, and all drank the same spiritual drink, which came down from the rock, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ. How can you be a spiritual food? How must we try and toil and make every effort to be spiritual food? Now, when someone is hungry, are you going to give him food, a drink? So, someone comes to you and says, I'm starving. And you say, drink this water. Right? But I'm starving. And what's the reaction when someone who's starving eats? Is it, or is it, that was nice. No? I'm filled. We need to be food for people first. We need to go, those who are spiritually starving of the love of Christ, the grace of Christ, the knowledge of Christ, the relationship with Christ, we need to go and tend to them. How do you do that? Very simple. What do you do Friday nights? What do you do Friday nights? Oh, I go to Bible studies. What? Since when? That's a good sign. When someone says to you, are you? You say, yes, me. Yeah. What's wrong with you? Oh, you've noticed? There's nothing wrong. I go to Bible studies on Friday night. Why? Because I love the Lord. Not because I want to go to conference. Because I love the Lord. Not because I just want to chill out with friends. We do that afterwards. No, because I love the Lord. Do you have a relationship with God? What do you mean, which God? Come along. Why don't you come along? Or tell me a little bit about your Lord. Well, right now I don't know much because I'm now in that learning process. Come along. And when you do come, let me tell you something. When you walk into the church, you can't be wearing shorts because why? I don't know much, but I know we're in the presence of God. You see, you're becoming the wisdom of God, the power of God. You're giving this person food. When you come to church, no tank tops, you relax. It's not about picking up someone there. It's in the house of God. Sorry, you can't do that. You don't need to go and put 3,000 kilos of makeup on. You don't need to do that. We're going to God. You're starting to feed this person. And then where does the spiritual drink come into play? Is when that person comes and sits here. I've shared this with you. I'll share it with you again. Who's been to Sydney? Great. Have you been to St. Peter and Paul Parish? No? Okay. When you go to Sydney, there are three parishes in Sydney and one on the way. Mata Mariam Church, St. Hermas Church. That's where you were baptized. St. Hermas Cathedral, right? And St. Peter and Paul Parish. The parish priest is Qasha Neil. Qasha Neil, I knew when he was young. I used to go to his father's house. He used to do video editing. I hardly saw him at church, actually. Maybe Christmas CEO. No, CE, not even O. Ulshanaze, maybe not. Rabbi, if I'm mistaken, forgive me. One Friday evening, just like this, we had Wednesday Bible studies and we would have Friday preaching. One Friday, Neil Maku then, his friends invited him. And by the way, his friends were Italian. They used to come to preaching. His friends invited him to that Friday preaching. To my shame, we're human beings. When he walked in, I thought, is he made it here? Yeah, it's probably friends and, you know. Anyway, he heard the message. He comes out and goes, hi, Rabbi. I said, Neil, good to see you. Yeah, it's a good sermon. I enjoyed the sermon. That's great. From that day, Neil would be Friday evening preaching. He would be Wednesday evening Bible studies every gathering, unless he was working. Then he became a reader, a lector. Then he became a subdeacon. And one day I went on one of my trips back to Australia. We were slaughtered Ramsha, and I saw Shamash and Neil walk up to the podium with a khudra in his hand. I'm thinking, Mar Ben Yamin, Kristen's cousin, Mar Ben Yamin said, listen, And he said the Qom Shapir Blishana. Where he goes, he learned from Rabbi Rasha. And now he's serving as a priest. So what happened? His friend fed him. He said, come. He came. And you know, when he gave him the drink, is when he came, something touched his heart, his mind. That's when he's probably gone, ah. You know, when you drink, you go, ah. Right? Because the thirst is quenched. That's how you can be. You can be that spiritual food by telling people about your relationship, but not being hypocrites. Not saying that I go to church every Friday or I go to church every Sunday, but my conduct in life, whether it's social media, whether it's hanging out, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, it's totally different and contrary. No, no, no. When you bring that person, you fed the person. When he drinks is when he hears the word of God. Something touches his heart because you know what? It's God that's bringing him. And then you can be that rock, meaning that person is built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. You, that Christ, brought him to Jesus Christ. You're that little Christ. That's what Christianity means, beloved. It doesn't mean who my tribe is and how many priests were in my household, how many bishops I've had in my household, how much money I donate to the church, how much work I do for the church. It's good. I don't want to write this off. This is great. But to be called Christian means you are fulfilling the role of Christ in society. And if you're thinking, me? Who, me? That's what King David did. King David was a brother of seven, I believe. He was a shepherd. He was that playing his harp and he was tending to his sheep. God said to his son, his father Jesse, he said, I want one of your sons. He brought all of them. Come and did, like, stand up, Isaac. Like, yeah, here I am, Lord. Right? He said, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. You have one. He said, oh, Pudana. You know, he's like, that he's a shepherd. He goes, no, I want him. Because my strength is seen in the weakness of people. Don't ever ride yourself off. Don't ever think, gentlemen, you're probably thinking that, yeah, I got things to do. We're going to go out, hang out, whatever it is. Don't ever think that God will not use you one day. Don't ever think. Because Neil, who came on Friday, if I had asked him, Neil, do you want to be a priest? He would have laughed at me. But he is now a priest. Ladies, don't ever think that because you're a woman, God will not use you. You go and look in the scriptures how many women God used. One woman who was at the well, who was talking to Jesus Christ, went to her city, brought all her city to Jesus Christ. One woman. Right? Equalities with Jesus Christ. Don't ride yourselves off. Continue your utmost best and try and continue and putting your effort and your whole life on being that Christ. One day God may say, I want to use you. And then that's when your life is, your foundation is rocked and your life is turned around 180 degrees, especially when God is glorified through what you do. So be that Christian that we must be. If there is nothing you've understood from this message, start reading the scriptures and see what Jesus Christ was. That is what we must be. We must be because we have that precious title of Christians. We're not called the people of the way. We are now called Christians, meaning there are little Christ that's on earth. Praise and glory be to his name, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
Hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.